Book of Acts, chapter number 2 tonight. Book of Acts, chapter number 2. While you're turning, I just want to talk to you just a minute as a church. And tonight's Wednesday night, so I figure most of the time it's just Calvary here tonight. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart and from the depths of my family's heart as well, thank you so, so much for all the hospitality, all the love, all the friendliness, all the smiles, all the handshakes, and just making us feel at home. I will assure you that it is not like this everywhere. It's not this easy to preach everywhere. It's just not. And y'all just, man, I just feel like I've known you all my life. And I really do. And I just want to say thank you so much. And man, you got just the most beautiful church in the world. And the pastor took me around last night, showed me around. And it might be a lot of people that have a little bit of an excuse not to know the Bible, but this church don't have that excuse. And man, what a beautiful library you have downstairs, and just great, 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 great property here. And just want to thank you again for allowing us to come be with you. And I promise you, you have made us feel a part, the basket and everything. My goodness, it's just y'all spoilt us while we've been here. And I look forward to the rest of the week, don't you? And it's good to be in the house one more time. And I want to preach to the church tonight with the Lord being my helper. And if you've got your Bibles open to Acts chapter number 2 tonight, Acts chapter number 2, if you'd stand in the honor of reading of God's Word. And we'll just jump right into the message tonight. And I enjoy the singing. I enjoy the young people singing as well. And I enjoy the church choir. Man, what a blessing. And man, you just don't know and you just don't realize how much good singing prepares the heart and prepares the message. And I'll be honest with you, I have enjoyed sitting back. I thought about this all day today. How the Lord has prepared this week and what He's done this week. And Sunday night, He plowed. And Monday night, He plowed deep and He plowed long. And then last night, He just wet the soil. And I just thought about that all day long. And He done all that so He could sow seed. And He has prepared the ground. And all we do is show up and follow orders, brother. That's all the preacher does, all the pastor does. And let me say this tonight, just one step further before we read the scripture tonight. How many of you love your pastor tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I really do believe that. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I really am. I'm preaching to the choir tonight when I say this. But if you really, really love the man of God, if you really love your man of God that God has sent here to this church, and I believe that you do, all you need to do is one thing, and that's to be faithful. Be faithful on Sunday night. Be faithful on Sunday morning. Be faithful to Sunday school. Be faithful on Wednesday night. Be faithful every night to revival. When you don't feel like being faithful, be faithful. And when you don't feel like, when you just don't feel like it and you got off work late, just come in your work clothes, even though it may not go with the dress standards that we believe in. Just come on anyway. And I promise you, I'm speaking from the heart tonight. I know what I'm talking about. Just be faithful. When the storm comes through and blows your power out, just be faithful. Come, He'd rather you be here stinking than He would be not at all. He just don't want you to sit beside Him. Amen. And I'll promise you, it tears the pastor's heart out when you're not here. And it really does. And then after the service tonight, right before the service ends, what I would like to do tonight is just take up an offering and take up a love offering so we can buy your pastor a Bible cover. Amen. And he has bought so much tape to put on that Bible that I just don't know how much longer it's going to hold up. But anyway, that means it's been used, don't it? Merry heart doeth good like a... Don't y'all know the Bible? Medicine, right? We're in for a long night, preacher. We're in for a long night. Acts chapter number 2 tonight. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. We'll read just a few verses and then we'll kind of lay a foundation and give you just a few points and we'll go home tonight. But I don't want to go through the motions tonight, do you? I came to hear from the Lord, and I came to hear from the Lord, and I hope you came to hear from the Lord, and I certainly don't want to go through the motions tonight, but look with me, Acts chapter number 2. Let's start reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to read that one more time. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you, God, just as humble, Lord, as I know how. Lord, I realize tonight that I stand in need of your touch, and I stand in need of your power tonight. Lord, I wouldn't dare want to stand up here and try to preach on my own. Lord, I wouldn't want to dare stand up here and try to do anything on my own. And Lord, I realize tonight that I am preaching at a good Bible preaching, independent Baptist, fundamental Bible preaching church tonight. But Lord, I know what you've laid on my heart. Lord, I have to ask you to take the Word of God. And Lord, that you would take it and sow it not only in their hearts, but I want you to sow it in my heart as well. Lord, help us to go away filled tonight and full tonight from the Master's table. Lord, help them not to see me, but help them to see you high and lifted up. Lord, let your train, your power, your presence fill the temple tonight. Lord, for everything that's done tonight, we want to give you all the honor. Lord, we want to give you all the praise. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the good week you've gave us so far. Lord, thank you, Lord, for each one that's here tonight. Lord, each one that's been here all week long. God, we certainly need you. Again, we ask for your power and your presence. In Christ's name we humbly pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. When we get to the book of Acts, how many of you has ever heard the book of Acts is a transitional book, right? And we know that the book of Acts is a history book of the local church. And speaking of history, that speaking in tongues is history. Amen. We don't do that anymore. And I realize we got Baptists on our side, but I'll just be honest with you. What I found out, preacher, is a lot of people in the Baptist church still don't know why and still are not sure about this speaking in tongues thing. But just let me call time out and say this really quick. That speaking in tongues was a sign to the Jews, of the unbelieving Jews, for them to believe the healing powers that God gave to the church. And those signs and those powers were for a certain amount of time while the Jews were continually rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Jews continued to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, those signs eventually vanished completely away. I even read today over here where they started speaking in tongues, and those people said, "Man, I can't believe I'm of this race, and I'm of this nationality, and I'm of this one, and ain't them boys supposed to be speaking that language? And I hear them speaking my language." You see, it didn't bring confusion. Everybody understood what they were saying. It was understood. Now, when you get into the tongue movement, everybody's confused, and they don't know what in the world they're saying, and neither do they. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just explaining that's what the speaking. So we're not talking about that. I'm just saying we were in a transition when we get to the book of Acts. It was a history book, and it occurs. It's called a transitional book is because it's in transition of God's dealings with mankind. It was undergoing a major transition when we get to the book of Acts. It was undergoing a transition in God's communication, shifting from the Jewish people unto one body. The local church, amen, or the church, the body of Christ. So he was on the Old Testament, coming all the way up through there. He spoke to the children of Israel, but here in the book of Acts, he's starting to speak to the body of the Christ, the local church. It's also a transition of an ethnic people. It's a transition from a Jewish race to a whosoever will. Could we say it like that? Y'all okay tonight? I mean, it was also a transition from a restricted priesthood, from the Levites to all believers. It was a new dispensation, or a new time, or a new era, could we say it like that, was on the scene, and that time is right now, and it's called the church age. And if the Lord Jesus, come here just a minute, if the Lord Jesus Christ is ever going to do anything in this day and this hour, it is going to be through and by the local church. It's not going to be through some missionary field out here that's not through the local church that started themselves. I believe every missionary is sent out of and through the local church. The local church is God's ordained institution. It's God's design. He designed it. He designed it in a way to function. He designed it in a way to work. And apart from His way, it will not function, preacher. So to understand the local church, we must understand, first of all, that the local church is not an organization. It's an organism. It's living. Because, and by the way, let me say this. The brick and the mortar and the property here is not the local church. Look around. You and I, the saved, the born again, the blood washed, the blood bought, individual believer tonight is a part of the local church. Now let me say this too, that the pinky toe of the local church is just as important as the neck of the local church. If you don't believe your pinky toe is important, if you'll bring it up here, I'll take a 2-pound hammer and I'll lay it down on there. Amen? Yeah, just stump it, brother. Just hit it across something. True story. You know what I'm getting ready to say? True story, preacher. I preach a message on this. True story. Don't look at me when I say this. The Lord gave me this. I went through this for me to preach a message on this. I'm not going to preach it tonight, but I got to hurry. I'm just telling you. This is a true story. I trained and I ran 70-some miles to run a half a marathon. In 9 weeks, me and one of my friends trained and run 70-some miles in training to run a half marathon. That was when I was much skinnier. And I'm just telling you, this is the truth. We came home from our last training run. We worked our way up to almost 13.1 miles and just shy of 13.1. We started working our way back down to let our muscles rest. I came home. The last training run was on a Tuesday. We were to run the race on a Sunday. I'm talking about the little toe. And I was to run the race on that Saturday. Not Sunday. That Saturday. Man, I wouldn't run no race on Sunday. But we was to run that race on Saturday. And we got done with our last run on Tuesday. I came home. I brought the kids home, went to Walmart, set about a case of waters down, and it was not Deer Park. It was Aquafina. And I set that water down in the kitchen floor, and my little boy, he was small, about 2012, and he said, I want something to eat. So I run over there to get something to eat, and I took my shoes off because those shoes are really expensive, and they got a certain amount of miles on them, and you don't want to just wear them around the house. And I come around the table, and I kicked that whole case of water. And when I did, I've never felt so much pain in my entire life. I mean, my pinky toe crammed in those bottles of water. And all of a sudden, preacher, my whole entire body hit the ground and went down and held that pinky toe. And I almost spoke in tongues. That's exactly right. But you know why? I said all that to say this. I ended up breaking my pinky toe that day. And it scared me to death. So I ran to the sports medicine doctor and I went in there and they x-rayed it and they said, well, sure enough, it's broke. They said, well, what you need to do is you need to take a piece of tape and need to buddy tape it. Tape it beside the one that's not broke, beside of it. And because you haven't broke it, because you've broken it so close to the race, it's not going to start healing back. So you can still run with that toe. Just make sure you leave it taped. Man, when that pinky toe gets hurt, you know what we need to do? The ones that's not hurt, we just need to help it out, don't we? I mean, we just need to come and buddy tape it. We just need to come and love on them. Man, I'm just telling you, if they don't act just right, they're not living right. Man, if we're not real careful, I don't know whose these are, but you done warned them last night. I mean, instead of looking down our pharisaical nose at them and thinking that we're better than they are, we better remember where we come from. Right? I'm telling you, the pinky toe's important. Somebody's got to take the trash out around here. Somebody's got to change the toilet paper roll. Somebody has got to put the soap in the dispenser in the bathroom. Somebody's got to fill the alcohol jug. Somebody's got to lock the door. Somebody's got to unlock the door. Somebody's got to do all those things. All I'm saying tonight is we are one body in Christ and we're all working together. Amen. The The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. And I know I'm preaching a Sunday school lesson, but just give me just a minute. Oh, it's the Greek word ekklesia tonight. E-K, the word ek means this, to come out of. And the word klesia tonight means this, a call or a gathering to assemble. And so the word church actually means this. It means a called out assembly. I thought about this. I thought about when we were in school, we were in class, and they would, and I, when I went, they had them big old timey speakers on the wall. Now they're built into the roof and all that. But it would come over and beep, right? And that teacher would say, send Jason to the principal's office. And I said, I didn't do it. Right? I'm just telling you, I was called out of my natural habitat and my natural environment to a group or to an assembly of different people. And we come to one location and we come for one purpose, and that was to rally together. Remember those sports rallies? Really? And we rallied together, tried to pump each other up, right, for the football game that night or whatever the case may be. So the local church is a called out assembly. Called out by who? Called out for what? From where? Called out by Christ, right? Bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. Called out from where? Called out from the world. Called out for what? Called out to carry out the work and the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're all for worshiping, right? But that word work is a four-letter word around the church, I have found out, right? I mean, we got a work day Saturday. I mean, you can have a chicken stew, and for some of you, man, I mean, you'll have more people there than you have on Sunday morning. Y'all know how that is, right? And praise God, I'll feed them. If they'll come to hear the gospel, I'll feed them. I'm not against that. But I'm just telling you tonight, work. To carry out the work and to carry out the worship is what God designed this organism, you and me, the body of Christ, to do. Right? I'm not preaching anything foreign, right? Okay. So when we get to the four Gospels and the first couple chapters in the book of Acts, we start seeing the blueprint and the forming and the believing and the living and the baptizing and all that of the local church. The beginning, could we say it like that? The instituting, the initiating of the local church. I believe with Brother Stennett Blue, I believe this. I believe Christ formed the body of the local church while he was here on earth with his disciples. Now, the church couldn't exist before Christ because the blood hadn't been shed. That's what we were purchased with. But I believe he was starting to form and to create the blueprint of the local church. So we can say the beginning of the local church, why in Christ's earthly ministry. And then in John chapter number 20, Christ breathed, and I believe we see the birth of the church. Y'all know God only breathed three times that I know of in the Bible. Number one, he breathed in Genesis chapter number 1 when he created Adam and he made man a living soul. He breathed also in Ezekiel, I believe chapter number 37, on the valley of dry bones, and those valley of dry bones became a living army. And then in John chapter number 20, he breathes again, and those people became living as well. Amen. And they became a living organism. So we see the blueprint of the church. We see the birth of the church. Then when we get to Acts chapter number 2, there's only one thing missing. That would be the baptism of the local church. So that's what we see here in Acts chapter number 2. But in Acts chapter number 1, Jesus is kind of prophesying, telling them, not right now. Not right now, it's coming. But look with me in Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Y'all with me really quick? Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 5, Bible says, for John truly baptized with water, but you disciples, the local church, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But when? Look right here, verse number 5. When? Not many days hence. Ain't going to be long. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then he gives the command to go into all the world, right, and preach the gospel after you've been baptized. Look with me in verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. You're going to receive power. You hadn't received it yet. You're getting ready to receive it. And after you receive it, you've got one job, one primary function as the local church, and that's going and spreading the gospel to all the world. Everybody can't go to Japan. Everybody can't go to China. Everybody can't go to Uganda. Everybody can't go to the prisons. Everybody can't go there. So what do? We support missionaries that goes and that spreads the gospel. And because of that, we, the church, the local church, we get to reap the benefits for it. That's what Paul said, right? That it's abound to our account, right? Every soul they went. So we see in verse number 6, look with me really quick. Chapter number 1, verse number 6. When they therefore were what? Were come together. So we see the gathering of the called out group of folks. But then in Acts chapter number 2, we see the baptism of this called out group of folks. In other words, they were empowered. Now think about this. The last thing you say when you're on the phone, unless you're mad, with your spouse or your kids is what? I love you. And why you say I love you is because that is the last thing that you want them to hear. Because if something happened to you and you was no longer going to be here on this earth and that was the last time they heard your voice, you would want them to always remember exactly what you said the very last time you talked to them. So here Jesus is getting ready to ascend back up into heaven, and the very last thing that He says to the local church is to go into all the world and preach, cry out, shout out loud, tell everybody the gospel, that I came, that I died, that I took their punishment, that I was buried, that I rose again, and that I live forevermore. And the only way that they can get to heaven, preacher, is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, there's only one problem with that. We live in the Bible Belt. You're right. But there's only one problem with that. I took my own independent survey, preacher. My own independent survey. And here's what I done. I'm not saying they're going to heaven or they're going to hell. That's not for me to say. I don't know. But here's how I do it. And I still do it this way. Hey, sir, how are you? I just want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. And I hand them a Bible tract. And they say, well, thank you. I say, well, you know what? I want you to go to heaven with me. And I kind of try to smile while I'm doing it and not look like I've got an abscess tooth, because who would want any of that, right? So I say, hey, I want you to go to heaven with me. And you usually hear one of the things, well, I want to go, or I'm going, or I hope I'm going. And then there's what I followed up with. What are you depending on to get you there? I asked 100 people, whether I was in Walmart, whether I was at the grocery store, whether I was pumping gas, wherever I was, 100 random people right here in the good old state of Wilkes County, Yadkin County, and Surrey County in North Carolina, and 49 out of 100 people did not know that salvation through Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the only way to heaven. 49 out of 100. You know why? Because the church is asleep. Because the church is asleep. But here in Acts chapter number 2, preacher, they wasn't asleep. Here in Acts chapter number 2, preacher, they were on fire. Here in Acts chapter number 2, preacher, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts chapter number 2, preacher, they were being empowered. They were coming together and they were doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question tonight, what I want to preach on tonight is this. What has happened to the local church? What has happened to the local church? As we study the local church in chapter number 2 of Acts, number 1, I want you to notice that it was a powerful church. It was a powerful church. In Acts chapter number 2 and verses 1 through 4, we see the church being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not half full. Right? We just read it. Look at verse number 4. And they, who? The church, were all, not half of them, not three quarters of them, Calvary, not just the preacher, Calvary, not just the front rowers, not just the deacons, right? Not just the grown-ups, not just the older people, the younger ones too, right? Everyone that was saved, everyone that was born again, they were filled with what? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see a church that was filled. It was a powerful church because it was filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that is not an option. That is a command. Are y'all okay? Am I in the same church tonight? Good liberty. I just want to make sure I'm in the same church. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God." Now let me say this. We're all going to be filled with something. Here's the issue. Here's why. Man, isn't it amazing how we come into church and we go through the motions, go through the motions, go through the motions, go through the motions, go through the motions. We're guilty of it at Solid Rock too. And then we come in there like last night and all of a sudden God shows up. Right? But why ain't it like that every night? Let me explain. Why ain't it like that on Sunday morning, preacher? Why ain't it like that on Wednesday night? Well, here's it. But here's why. We pump ourselves full of mess all week long. We pump ourselves full of bitterness and anger and jealousy and arrogance and all this other, all these little things. And they're our favorite TV shows that got those little cuss words in it or whatever it is. A scuffle or bickering with our spouse or whatever it is. People on the workplace backstabbing you and cutting your throat and making you mad. And man, I'm just telling you, it makes you angry, and it's all everywhere we look because every man's out for himself. But so when we come to church, we're not prayed up, we're not read up, we haven't touched our Bible all week, and when we get to church, preacher, we're filled with all this mess. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So the difference in the church, where's the church now? So where's the church then? Right back then, they were filled. They were full. See, that bottle right there will only hold 16.9 ounces, and everything else is spillover. So when we get filled up with junk and we come into the church, all the word that tries to get poured into us, it just overflows and it's all run out all over the ground because we're not emptied out before we come in here. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit, not filled with our... So we see a powerful church, but also look with me in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 14. I see a praying church. Now notice this is in chapter 1. They were praying in chapter number 1, but they were powerful in chapter number 2. Now let me say that again. I said they were praying in chapter number 1. They were powerful in chapter number 2. They were praying in chapter number 1, but they were filled in chapter number 2. Y'all getting the drift? Look with me, verse number 14. These are all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. In prayer and supplication. Before they ever became powerful, they were a praying church. These all continued in prayer. That tells us they always prayed. They prayed continually. I believe we're commanded to do that as well, are we not? Cease not to pray, right? So they were praying in one accord. They were praying all together, but I believe this, preacher, I believe they had a private prayer life. Let me ask you this, Calvary. It's great. It really is. I really mean this. It's great that you meet all together 30 minutes prior to the service and pray. It's great. I appreciate you praying for me, and I know this is a praying church because you've prayed for me this past week and weeks leading up to this meeting, and I promise you, I certainly appreciate that. I really do. You pray for your pastor. I don't doubt that, and he appreciates that. I know that he does, and his wife, please pray for her as well, and my wife and so forth. But I'm just telling you tonight, how's your prayer life at home? How's your prayer life? Can I ask you a question? How much time have you spent doing this week versus this week? How much time have you spent doing this, turning the TV channel this week and watching TV versus praying this week? They were powerful, preacher, because they had a prayer life. Not only a prayer life, but they had an earnest prayer life. They had a continual prayer life. They were reaching God with their prayers. It's almost as if Jesus expected us to pray for 1 hour as a minimum. When he went back and found his disciples asleep, he went back and he said, "Are y'all kidding? You can't even pray for 1 hour?" I mean, it was almost like this, preacher. "Hey, hang on, give me 30 seconds. And you go over there and do something, you come back and you say, "Man, I wasn't going for 30 seconds. What happened?" And it's almost like as if Jesus came back to the disciples and said, "You can't even pray and watch with me for 1 hour? Wow. 1 hour? I'm just telling you, they were powerful because they were a praying church. If praying was so easy, why can't we do it? I'm speaking to us tonight. Why can't we do it tonight? It was an earnest prayer. It was a humble prayer. It was a honoring prayer tonight. And the entire church had an earnest, humble prayer life. Number one, there was a powerful church. Number two, there were a praying church. Number three, it was a preaching church. Look with me in Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, verses 13 and 14. Others, speaking of the world, mocking, said, "These men are full of new wine. They've been up in Wilkes County getting some of that moonshine." Don't act like they don't still make it up here. Amen. That's what they were acting. They were full of the Holy Spirit. Those people had never seen that before, and it scared them. But look with me in the very next verse. But Peter, look at these next words. What? "Standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice." That sounds like some preaching to me, don't it, you? It's what preach means, right? To cry aloud, right? "Lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And Peter let a rip from the hip, and almost for the rest of the chapter, he preached aloud to them.
Amen.
Amen. Notice with me in verse number 14, Peter was standing up with the 11. There was a church here that was standing up. It was a preaching church. They were standing up. Can I say this tonight? It is time for the church to wake up. It is time for the church to stand up. But it's time for the church to speak up.
Right.
You know how they started killing babies? Because the church is asleep, the church is sitting down, and the church has shut up. You know how homosexuals have been getting married? Because the church is asleep, because the church is sitting down, and because the church has shut up. Now let me say this. I'm in Wilkes County, and by the way, I thought I might need some of the men with guns while I was up here, but I really don't need any men with guns protecting me. I just need some of those senior saints with those canes protecting me. Because I'm telling you, hey, we're getting ready to tear his head off. No, I'm just kidding. But hey, I'm just telling you tonight, that homosexual sin, sure God hates it. And it's against our morals, and that's why we hate it probably as bad. Really a little bit worse. But it's no different shacking up. Well, that went over well. It's no different than a liquor bottle. It's a stronghold, see? And they just have to break that stronghold. Now, I'm not supporting of that, and I hope you know me better than that, but I'm just telling you, I'll still love them because they've just got a sin problem. As long as they don't try to live in it, and as long as they're trying to break that stronghold, I'm there with them, amen. I'll back them. Just like I will the crackhead. Just like I will the meth head. Hey, I'll back them. If they're trying to do right, and they've got a sin problem, we've all got a sin problem. What's your sin problem? Right? Dirty mind? Dirty mouth? It's all sin, right? I'm just saying it's time for the church to stand up against sin. But I do believe this. I believe Christ wants us to do it in love. Not with hate speeches, right? Not with, we can let a rip from the hip preaching against some of that abortion and homosexuality, and man, we'll shout it down. But when we mention shacking up, when we mention lottery tickets, preacher, woohoo, right? When we mention that scratch-off, preacher, easy now. How much did you win today? No, I'm just kidding. That's why he cut his fingernails before he come in here, amen. I just couldn't see that silver up under his face. No, I'm just kidding. He's either huffing paint or scratching lottery tickets, one of the two. Love you, preacher. In 1 Timothy 3:15, you'll see the church of the living God is supposed to be a pillar and ground of the truth. In Matthew chapter number 5, you will see that we are commanded to be the salt of the earth. We are commanded to be the light of the world. We are commanded to be the... It's not an option. And we're going to have to give an account for it one day. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. Not if you feel like it today, you're the salt of the earth. Not when they mess up. If they mess up your order in the drive-thru, you can take a time out from being the salt of the earth. Not if they cut you off in traffic, you can take time out. But we are commanded to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the salt, the preserving agent.
Amen.
Now, I know that I'm absolutely going to shock some people right here. We are going through Friday night, aren't we? But I think we are. We're supposed to. The air might mess up for tomorrow night. Donald Trump don't have the answers to fix America. He really don't. The Republicans don't have it. The Democrats don't have the answer. I want to tell you, who knows the answer to fix America? Who knows the answer to fix this world tonight? I'll tell you, the answer to fix the world tonight is the blood that was shed on Calvary in the Lord Jesus Christ's body, the punishment that God took out on His Son, and it pleased Him to do it. Tell you who has the answer tonight. Look with me in Acts chapter number 2, and we'll see who has the answer tonight. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Who has the answer tonight is the local church. The government don't have the power. The local government don't have the power. The police don't have the power. The military don't have the power. You and me, the local church, we have the power that's inside us to go hand out gospel tracts and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ that they may come to know Him.
Amen.
And that is what will change this world.
Amen.
Because the only difference between me and you and the homosexuality tonight, between me and you and the drug dealer tonight, between me and you and the moonshine tonight, between me and you and the sins tonight, the only difference between me and you and that crowd tonight is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It was a powerful church. It was a praying church. It was a preaching church. Look with me in verse number 14. I want you to understand this before we go any further. I'm getting ready to close, but I want you to understand this. In verse number 14, it said, but Peter standing up with the 11. Isn't it amazing, Brother Chris? Out of the 11, Judas Iscariot was already dead. Out of those 11, and they added, out of that crowd of people that was in that room, out of that crowd of people that was standing up was named Peter. What? Peter, the rock, he was standing up? Are you kidding me? Peter was standing up? Can I remind you that Peter was not always standing? No, in John chapter number 21, Peter was giving up. He was throwing in the towel. He was saying, I quit. He said this. He said, I go a fishing. He said, I'm tired of waiting on the Lord. I'm tired of this battle. I'm tired of this fight. I'm going back to what I know to do, and that's fishing. In John chapter number 21, he was giving up. But in Acts chapter number 2, he was standing. In Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 30, you'll find Peter sinking as he took his eyes off of the Lord. But in Acts chapter number 2, preacher, he was standing. In John chapter number 18, you'll find Peter cussing. You'll find Peter following Christ afar off. You'll even find Peter denying the Lord. But in Acts chapter number 2, Peter was standing. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the church needs to stand up.
Amen.
Sure, we failed. Sure, we've messed up. Sure, I shouldn't be here preaching this revival tonight. Sure, I shouldn't be pastoring a church tonight. Sure, I don't deserve to be saved tonight. Sure, I don't deserve to carry a Bible. Sure, I deserve to be in a graveyard tonight. But somehow or another, the Lord picked me up. And tonight, I'm no different than you are. I'm no stronger than you are. All I am is standing tonight. Peter learned to get back up. So many times church members get knocked down, but they never learn to get back up. So many times church members get knocked down and they don't get back up because the church kicks them around. But we all need to stop and think tonight. Who am I? Where did I come from? Can I get Casey to get ready to sing that song again? Brother Casey, can you come get ready to sing it? I'll tell you who I am tonight. I'm one that thought I was a mighty big man. I thought I could do it on my own. I thought I didn't need any help. Right? Do you know what? Peter learned to get out of all of his failures, out of all of his coldness, out of all of his blabbermouth, knee-jerk reactions, Peter learned to get back up. Out of all of his mess-ups, Peter learned to get back up. I believe the Proverbs 24:16 says it like this, "For a just man falleth 7 times, and he riseth up again." You know what? There ought to be something that we learn when we fall those 7 times. And one of those things that we ought to learn is how to get back up. Can I tell you how Peter got back up? And I'll be done tonight. I've really got 2 more points, but can I tell you how I'm done? Can I tell you, Peter got back up? Luke 5, the Bible says this, "Peter fell at Jesus' knees saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" And how you get back up tonight? You get back up on your knees. You get back up by staying down. Keep your flesh down and let your spirit get back up. Keep your flesh pressed down, church, and let your spirit... You know how you get a prayer life? You keep your flesh pressed down, but you let your spirit pray to God. You know how you get powerful tonight? You keep your flesh, your TV shows, all of that stuff. Say, nothing wrong with some of that stuff. You're deer hunting. You're fishing. All that stuff. Nothing wrong with it. I love to do it. But just keep it pressed back. Make sure God stays on the front burner.
That's good.
Make sure that your Bible devotion comes first. Your praying comes first. Hey, make sure that God is number one in your life tonight. Revival, we've got it out of whack. It's not a series of meetings tonight. But it's a fire that's rekindled and its gas is thrown on it, preacher, and it don't go out after Friday night.
Amen.
I just wonder, church. It was a powerful church, it was a praying church, it was a preaching church, it was a prosperous church. Calvary, y'all run big numbers, but not big enough. You run big numbers, but not big enough. So what are you talking about, preacher? Don't get content. Don't get content with this building. Don't get content with that choir. Hey, don't get content with just a few going on door knocking visitation. Don't get content. Content brings death. I believe that. Don't get settled. Don't settle. Stand up. Don't settle. Wake up. Don't settle. Fill up. Fill the pews. Knock on doors. Tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Want more and want more. And I wonder what kind of meetings that we would have tomorrow night and Friday night. If we'd all come around the altar tonight and commit ourselves and say, "You know what, preacher? I've never done it before. I don't know how in the world I'm going to find time." Sometime between tonight when we let out and tomorrow before church starts, preacher, I'm going to pray 1 hour. Not just this side over here. All of us tonight. Wonder how many of us would say, "Preacher, I'm going to make time. If I've got to pray 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes before I come to church, tomorrow, preacher, before I come back in here, I'm going to pray and ask God to speak to my heart." And you know what, preacher? I'm not going to commit it to you. I'm going to commit it to the Lord tonight. And Friday night, sometime between Thursday night and Friday night, I'm going to pray another hour. If I've got to break it up in 30 minutes at a time, preacher, I'm going to do that tonight because I want to be filled. I want God to do something in my life. I want Him to fill me. I want to go further. I want to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be content. Everybody stands all over the house. Altars are open tonight.